that I received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let each eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the body, the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and are sick and even die. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you to be with us for the next few minutes. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to see your glory. Father, I pray that your anointing will be here. And God, I pray that we will remember and discern your body. And God, I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Now this is, for you visitors, this is the fourth installation of a series we started 4 weeks ago called Real Love. And in this series, I'm not even going to go online and listen to all the past sermons, but the first one we talked about how God introduced agape love to the Greek culture. Nobody had ever used that word. Even the other gods didn't use that word in literature. God used it as a signal that my love is unconditional and his love was by choice. He chose to love you before you were born. Ain't nothing you could do to change that choice. He chose to make people the object of his obsession. People are. He loves you. That word by choice, that word unconditional, makes it by choice. That means it don't matter what condition you're in. It don't matter how you act. It don't matter how many sins you commit. He will never stop loving you. Why can't we just celebrate that fact? Quit worrying about him wasting something that he's got an infinite supply of. He loves you. Everybody just say that. God loves me. Now, some of you don't even like to say that because you don't think it. Well, you're calling God a liar. For God so loved the world, he gave. Right? The next week, we talked about how he took that a step further. And he made a way for us to have a relationship in that love. Not just us being the object of his love, but that we could express our love back and forth and have a relationship. And Jesus paid it. And we talked about the blood cries out. Remember that? The blood cries out. The blood of Jesus cries out. I'm covered in the blood. He loves me. And I can love him. Last week we talked about the consistency of his love. You're not changing it. It first came up, and we talked about the love that Jesus had for people on the cross. Even though it didn't have nothing to do with his mission, he still loved people. Now this week, I want to go a little step further, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Okay? And I want you to see this. I want you to get this. Okay? And understand. Don't, a lot of times in Scripture, like when I read something, anyone who eats in an unworthy way is going to be weak and die. I mean, and we get all introspective and we miss the main point. The main point is that this is powerful. The Lord's Supper is a powerful thing. This isn't just a routine, and I'm sorry, religion has made it something that we have done, but he just declared. Now listen, first of all, let me give you a disclaimer, okay? I am not saying everybody sick in church, this is it. I am not saying everybody that dies, this is the cause. I'm not saying that at all. He didn't say that. He said some. Now, the main point that jumps off the page in me is, this is powerful. This is intense. I mean, there are people who are weak. There are people who are sick. There are people even dying because they're doing this in the wrong way. And the first thing, I flipped it over. So what does that mean? If we do it in a worthy way, I can be healthy. I can have power. I can live long and have peace. Right? Christians should be healthier than non-Christians. We should be. Just simply because we shouldn't have as much worry. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, look, I don't have a long sermon, but if you don't seem to be getting it, I'm going to have to make it long. So you need to say amen at the proper places. Now, if you just say amen at dumb places, I know you ain't listening. You're just waiting for a break. I want you to understand the power of this. I believe this to be, because this is consistent with the Scripture, I believe this to be physically and spiritually. I mean, Paul gets up and says, look, I gave you this Lord's Supper because Jesus Christ gave it to me. I showed you how to do it. And you've been doing it in an unworthy way. And that's the reason some of you are weak. You're sick. And you are even dying. Good Lord. Now there's your grace sermon right there. Could that not be the exact description of the Church of Jesus Christ in America? Spiritually. Let's just talk about, and physically. Churches are closing down all over the country, and what are we? We are weak. We're sick. We got the same spiritual problems as the world. And churches are being shut down all the time. Pastors are committing suicide at an alarming rate. Now, I want to throw this in. This ain't what I'm preaching, but I want y'all to know. If they say I committed suicide, first of all, I hate pain and I like myself too much. So y'all make sure Amy's got a good alibi. Because she said, she was like Billy Graham's wife, said, look, I'll never divorce you, but I might kill you. So, if they say Alan Hickman committed suicide, you need to research. Call MacGyver, call somebody, you know, because that ain't true. Now, I want you, listen to what he's saying, you know. I hate to bring comedy in there a little bit just because it's such a heavy thing. Paul is telling the Church of Jesus Christ that was born to be victorious. We're not just to endure. We're not just to get by. Look, the world is going down. They're losing their minds. This should be our finest hour, as what's his name said in World War II. This should be our finest hour. Why? Because we should be healthier. We should be happier. We should be all those things just because I have Christ in my heart. And yet we're weak and sick. and even dying. If that is true, then if we do it worthily, shouldn't the opposite be true? If I do this worthily, this is going to bring power. This is going to bring health. This is going to bring peace and joy into my life. So we need to figure out what he's saying. I have heard 150 gazillion religious messages on what it means to walk unworthy. The only problem with that is they never take in context what he's talking about. The whole scripture there, the whole thing, is about the way they're treating one another. So here's what he says. Let's figure out what he says here so that we understand exactly. Because this thing's powerful. We're fixing to do the same thing they just told them. Some of you are weak and you're sick and you're dying. Well, I want the opposite. I want us to be healthy and powerful and have peace and joy. So when he says walk unworthy, what is he saying? Well, he told you exactly what it is. Right after he said, you're walking unworthily, you're doing this in an unworthy manner, not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? See, all the religious sermons I ever heard talk about drinking, smoking, chewing, and look, I told you, I don't think you should do all that. But that ain't what he's talking about here. He's talking about discerning the Lord's body. Now, if you're going to be a true Bible scholar, the first thing you got to do is let the Bible interpret the Bible. So if you hear the words, the Lord's body, and that's in the Bible, then you got to let that interpret what that means. So the first thing it's got to mean is Jesus Christ. His body. What he paid for. He said, look at me now, this is incredible. He said, you're not, first of all, let me back up there. Lady, I forgot to define discerning. Put that up there real quick. Can you do that? Or do you need a USB? I don't even know what that is. Not discerning the Lord's body. Discern to separate. I need to figure out, to estimate, to make a decision based on. It also, one interpretation is to carefully, listen to me now, to carefully pay attention to. I'm discerning, if I'm going to be discerning, to carefully regard. So, he's telling me they're walking unworthy because they're not carefully regarding Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Just like a lot of people here today. What does it mean that they're not discerning the Lord's body? What he paid for. What he did in his body. The decision. Go ahead. Go to the next one. I mean, the Lord's body. We are walking unworthy. What he said. Some of you still call Jesus a liar. Oh, not me. No, I don't call Jesus no liar. Yeah, you do. Dadgummit. Jesus can't. Some of you think that Jesus' love cannot reach somebody, so you're not going to bring there. You're not going to bring because you ain't got no faith that he can touch you. They're too far gone. You've just not given careful regard to the body of Jesus Christ. What he said about you, what I can experience. Some of you still think God doesn't love you. He can't love me. I'm second class. There's only first class people in heaven. There are no stepchildren in heaven. You either full blown or you gone. Do you understand? All these things are what the body Listen, his body was broken so mine could be healed. If you do not accept that and believe that, you are not worthy. You are taking the Lord's Supper unworthy. What I can experience, I can hear his voice, my prayers. He is able because of his body. He is able to do all that I need. I can. Some of you, look at me, listen to me. You deny the joy of the Lord. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I want to say this. This so broke my heart today. Not today, but the other day. We have a church member that's in the hospital. They rushed him to Highland. It was more than they need surgery, especially surgery and all that. They tried to send him to Hattiesburg to that huge hospital in Forest General. Couldn't find a bed. Tried to send him to North Shore. Couldn't find a bed. Had to send him to Slidell Memorial. And it was more than they counted. They wanted to send him down to Oshawa. He had to wait a whole day because there wasn't a bed down at the big home office in Oshawa. Amy's dad's in the hospital. He needed to be shipped to Shreveport. He had to wait a whole day because they couldn't find a bed. The doctor that wrote the article that has been published over and over and has been proven over and over again, he said that he believed, I want you to hear this now, because it's directly relating to what we're talking about. He said he believed 50%, half of the hospital beds in America are due to stress and anxiety. They're treating something else. When your body worries and is anxious, it creates something that attacks every organ in your body, and eventually one of them break down. And that's what they treat you. But really your problem is you're denying the body of Christ. Body of Christ says, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's going to be there with me. The body of Christ says, his joy I have. And yet we deny that by worrying. And then we stand with the bread and the butter. I believe you're King of Kings, you're Lord. And we drink in an unworthy manner, denying his body. Second way that we don't give careful regard to the Lord's body. And you cannot help, if you read the Bible at all, the second way you have to interpret it this way. What does he call Christians? Over and over again in the Bible, he refers to us as the Lord's body. Does he not? The Lord's body. What is he saying here? You are not giving careful concern, regard, paying attention to each other. For this reason, you're weak, you're sick, we have no power in our prayers, and we're even dying because we're not taking care of one. This is the very reason. Please don't ever say this to me, because I might hit you over the head with my Bible and then have all the boys come jump on you just to reinforce it. Please understand, Well, you know, I can experience God by myself. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to be part of a local church. Look, if you don't like this church and you don't want to come, find you one you can. But do you understand that God says you need to be a part of a local body so you can discern the body, give regard to the body, help each other? If you don't do that, you are walking in an unworthy manner. That's not my words, it's His words. How do we regard one another? First of all, understand that the Lord's body is the church. We are all connected. When are we going to realize that? I can't attack somebody else. Your words matter. The way you attack somebody else, another Christian. Let's just talk about other Christians, other churches, other Christians. In this room, how about this one? At your house. Some of you are weak. Now look, I'm just saying what the Bible's saying. If I treat her poorly, she's God's daughter, and I treat her poorly, don't you dare think I won't be weak and sick. Because she's part of His body too, right? I want you to understand, because look, I want the power. I want the hell. I mean, listen, we're trying to impress God with cathedrals. And look, I do want to build of our own one day. I want to get out of here. I hate these poles. But listen, man, God, I mean, you know, they used to sell ladies' lingerie right here. This was Walmart. How big a building you got to do to impress God? How much money, how much stuff do you got to go for God, the creator of the universe? Go, wow. Wow. I'm impressed. Let me tell you what impresses God. When you regard, give careful regard to one another. You refuse to tear down one another with your words. Listen to me. You cannot walk with unforgiveness and continue to walk with God. I just want to say it there. Bitterness and unforgiveness toward another Christian will make you unworthy. How can I stand in bitterness and unforgiveness when I have absolutely been forgiven so much? Guys, it affects each other. What do they do? What they have to do when you get a bad infection, you get gangrene in your leg or whatever, you know, they know what will eventually happen if you let it stay there. You got to cut that leg out. That is a physical picture of what happens to the body of Christ. Are you bringing life to the body or are you bringing death to the body? My words matter. When are we going to get... God chose. Listen to me now. God chose. When they asked Jesus, how do we talk to God? God said, Jesus said, you want to talk to God? Call Him Father. Call Him Father. Don't you dare think that God does not care about the way His children are treated. Amen. I told you this last week, and I'm going to tell you again. Me and Amy are blessed beyond measure when we watch our boys take care of each other and bless each other. I can't tell you. We have wept and cried for joy driving home, watching them take care of each other. Don't you dare think God will not pay attention when you weep and cry for another one of His children. Because that's when health and healing begins to flow out of you. And whenever you give that out, what happens? You get more. It's a fresh infusion. Guys, you cannot walk in unforgiveness. We are killing. Modern man has created a world we can't live. We're so busy. We got to do this. We got to do this. Our children got to be involved in this and that. And we're so stressed out and worried. We're living beyond our means. We got to do this and that. And we've forgotten the grace of God. This should be the time that Christians shine without even saying a word. Just simply because our blood pressure is lower than theirs. I mean, see, we've forgotten, it goes along with me. What did his body buy? Yeah, I know this. I love nature, too. I love nature. I love going and looking at the mountains. I love going and looking at the beach. I like the water. The beach would be great if it didn't have sand. You know, can I get a witness? Some man out here say, yes, Lord. I mean, you know, if he'd have wanted me to lay on the sand, he created me a whale. I'm moving on. But my wife loves it, so I go and enjoy it. With a good attitude. And I don't complain at all. But listen, how many of you have been to places or seen places that are absolutely drop-dead gorgeous? You just go, wow. Look at the majesty of that. He did that in 6 days. Man, he's had several thousand years. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Why can't we celebrate that? That's what his body bought for. It's what his blood bought for. This ain't my home. Everybody look at me. This is not your home. We just passing through. Stop worrying so much about what happens here. Now, I know we got to live here and we should be involved in politics and we should make our world better. I agree with it. But let me tell you something. Look, when the rapture comes or if I die, you can have all my stuff. You can have it all. I mean, the boys might say something to you, but, you know, I don't care. Because I'm going to be in a place that's mind-blowing because of the body of Christ. He cares how you treat one another because of the body of Christ.